That's like a fresh drink of water when you're hot and thirsty. Amen. I appreciate Miss Peggy. She's a widow. Her husband was a preacher, Brother Bobby Simmons, for years in our county and the surrounding counties. And we appreciate her. She's got a sweet spirit. I like the way she sings with expression. You know, some people just get up there and they never change. I love to see expression. Amen. Well, it's come time for preaching. Brother Dana, you come around, take us up to about one. We appreciate this man of God. While he's coming, I want to say it is good to see Brother Herman Forbes and Miss Laura. They're friends to camp meeting. They've had sickness, have not been able to be here, but it's a blessing to see them here in the service this morning. Brother Dana, you come and preach to us what God's put in your heart. I love you too.
Wow. They say there's three things hard to do in life. One is to climb a fence leaning to you. The other is to kiss a girl leaning from you. And the third one is to follow preaching like that just before lunch. I've tried two of those. And it ain't none of your business. Sometimes in these morning services, I feel like we've had steak and gotten real full, and then we ask everybody if you want a hamburger. So that's about where we're at. But let's take our Bibles and turn, as I say, to the book of the Revelation. And we have been trying to refresh our hearts concerning the church, the bride of Christ. And as I have said, I thank God, and I love her. I think it's pretty evident around here. We love her. Because without her, I'd have never known him. She's the one that told me about him. She's the one that loved me with his love. She's the one that showed me his grace. She's the one that took me in as a sinner. And she's the one that sent me out as a preacher. I love her. But I also love him. I love him because without him, there wouldn't have been no her. That's the reason why we're here, is because of him. And if you want to find him, find her. And he said, I'll be there. And if you want to find her, find him. Because they are inseparable together. And also, I have emphasized that not only do I love her and him, but I love the Holy Ghost. I love her because without her, I wouldn't have known him. I love him because without him, there wouldn't have been no her. And I love the Holy Ghost because he's the one that introduced me to him and her. But here's what I want you to understand that I want to point out from the text is that anywhere you find him, anywhere you find her, and anywhere you find the Holy Ghost, you're going to find a precious possession that belongs to her and only her. She not only has it, but she has all of it. And nobody else has any of it. And I want to preach this morning for a few moments on her hope. Her hope. I'm glad she's got hope. And I have noticed as he wrote to her, he stirred up that hope in her. I would preface the reading in Revelation by what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. A lively hope. The late Curtis McCarley used to say, where you find hope, you find a hop. Your hope will give you a hop. It is a lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you by the power of God through faith. She has hope. She has hope. And when I speak of hope, I'm not talking about a mystical imagination. I'm not referring to a pie in the sky. I'm not speaking of a frail, shallow, sentimental feeling. She's not wishing upon a star. She's not being optimistic. It's not something to chance or a likelihood or a possibility or a dream come true. I think Paul gives us a good definition of what hope is in Philippians 1 and verse number 20. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. In other words, what he's saying is hope is that excited, earnest expectation of what Jesus promised. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. As a matter of fact, we're told that we have a God of hope. That we are saved by hope. We can rejoice in hope, plow in hope, thresh in hope. We are partakers of hope. We have the assurance of hope. It is, as has been preached this morning, a purifying hope. And Peter says it's a lively hope. It's got some hop in it. And to sum it all up, Paul said, Christ, which is our hope. I'm glad I've got some hope. I'm glad I say I've got some hope. Now, I want to point out these texts here, and I'll mention three things about her hope. Look, if you will, in chapter number 1. And verse number 7. The Bible said, behold, he cometh with clouds. I like what the old timer said. He phrased it this way. He said, he's on the way. And did you know when the angels told those who watched him ascend, they said, he's coming back. The same way. And what he's essentially saying, anywhere you find this matter of the coming of the Lord stirring up the hope of the saints, is that he's not delaying anything right now. He's not sidetracked. But honey, when he went up, he was on his way back. There was no deterrence between then and now. He's been on his way for 2,000 years. Thank God he fully intends, as MacArthur did for the soldiers in the Philippines, I will return. For all that's been on his mind since he left was getting back. not only want him to come back, he wants to come back. He has an excited expectation also that he's going to come and get her. And she's got an excited expectation that she's going to meet him. And someone this week made a bold prediction. They said, here's what I predict, is that he's going to marry her and they're going to live happily ever after. That's our hope. Hallelujah. Notice also, if you will, in verse number 25 of chapter number 2. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And then in verse number 11 of chapter number 3. He has not only given us the motion and has set in motion. I'll tell you, 2,000 years ago, he set in motion. It's never stopped. This matter of his coming. But he seems to give us the very minute in spirit. Because he says in verse number 11, behold, I come quickly. Now, it's a false prophet that would try to give you a date of sometime tomorrow or the next day. Because the spirit of our hope is not for tomorrow, it's for now. And the saints for 2,000 years have expected him now, an imminent return. When I first got saved 49 years ago, I got to listening to this preaching about the coming of the Lord, and I decided I'd try to figure out when he's coming. I didn't have sense enough to know you couldn't. And this was around 1970, so in my figures, I figured he'd probably be here by 73. Well, obviously he wasn't. But here's what I figure that he's put in the heart of his saints, is that he ain't coming tomorrow, the next day. All of his saints have always expected him any minute. That's the spirit and the hope of his coming. That he's coming right now. Hallelujah. But notice also, and I'll just quote this, John says in the last chapter, he said, even so, this is the heart of the saint, this is the hope of the saint, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We've got that hope. But understand, we're the only ones that have that hope. And there's nobody else that has that hope. And we've got all that hope. It is her possession. But three things I would say to you briefly. I want to emphasize again where the Bible tells us in verse number 13, Jesus is in the midst of the candlesticks. And of course, he interprets that in verse number 20 as the seven churches. And I like what Paul said when he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And somebody said, well, if she's got hope, where's it at? Way out there in time and in space, some unforeseen future. No, I think Brother Larry preached it so well on Job when he said, the root of the matter is in me. The good news about our hope is it's not somewhere stored up somewhere else. It's not a hope chest that we've got to look for. But our hope, as Jesus is in the midst of these churches, our hope is that Christ is in us. We've got our hope in us. Hallelujah. When I think about that, no wonder we've got hope, because he is our hope. And we think about who he is, when we think about what he's done, when we think about what he's doing, we have no problem believing what he's going to do. And he emphasizes so much in these texts to her. He wants her to know about his authority. He wants her to know about his abilities. He wants her to know about his attributes. He wants her to know about his person. He wants her to know about his power. Amen. One writer said, "Our hope is sound because it is founded upon the character of Christ." Hallelujah. His redeeming work, the whole might of the Most High is behind it because of him. And I say to you, we have hope because of the Christ who dwells in us. And look what he did. If you'll notice in verse number 5 of chapter number 1, it said, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness." We're trusting one who has character, thank God. In his promises, you can believe. The Bible said, "And he's the first begotten of the dead. He's the prince of the king of the kings of the earth," emphasizing his authority, emphasizing his attributes, emphasizing his abilities, emphasizing his affection, because here's what he did. "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Hallelujah. And it is this one who says to her in verse number 8, "I want you to know you can have hope because I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Which is, which was, and which is to come." He said, if you want to have hope, you focus on him. You focus on Christ who is in you. And honey, you focus on what he did. I mean, when he came and gave his all on the cross and died and was buried and has been emphasized all this week, thank God, by his own power and authority, came up out of the grave. He did that. You can hope in somebody that can do that. Our hope is in us, the Christ who arose from the dead. But you know, I was pondering that there are a lot of folks who celebrate Easter Sunday. The churches are filled with all the lilies that come together. They look so pretty. And we sing all the songs about the resurrection. We sing all the songs about him coming out of the tomb. Well, that's true. That's what he did. But what I want to say to you, you can come and you can sing those songs, and you can come on that blessed day of Easter. But I'm going to tell you, if all you're doing is embracing what someone else has told you about what Jesus did back then, you'll go to hell on a doctrine. Because what I want to say to you is you cannot have hope in the past if you hadn't experienced that hope in the present. He said, "I'm the one that was, but I'm the one that is. I'm glad that I've got hope because I've got a Christ in me that's working now. My hope is not only in what he did, but my hope is in what he's doing." Was preaching in a church, rather large church, on one Sunday morning, Easter. Had my pretty little Easter sermon. I thought it looked pretty good. Sitting on that front pew, and the Holy Ghost come by and tore it all to pieces. Took it right out of my heart. And he said, "I want you to get up and tell these people that they're a bunch of fools as they come here today believing that some man 2,000 years ago got up out of the grave by himself." I said, "Well, Lord, I believe that. You tell them." He said, no, I want you to tell him. I said, well, what do I say after that? He said, you'll find out. I was as nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. I got up and I said, folks, the Lord told me to tell you that if you've come here to celebrate some fella that you don't even know that got out of the grave 2,000 years ago, you got to be a fool to believe that. And I'm going to tell you, that would be foolish, would it not? It would be foolish for me to come to you and say to you that I preached a man's funeral last week and I saw them bury him, and then 2 days later I was in Walmart and he come up and tapped me on the shoulder and he said, hey, Brother Dana, my wife told me you preached my funeral and she said you done a great job and I'm going to listen to the CD. You'd say that's crazy. And I'd expect you to say that's crazy. But honey, if I was the one that met him at Walmart, I wouldn't care how you felt about it. I'd know he was up. It may sound weird, but it happened. And I'm here to tell you the only reason why I've got hope is because the one that got up out of the grave is the one that brought me up from the dead as a 14-year-old boy. It's privileged me and the wife to go to Israel several years ago. Somebody said, why'd you go? I said, I wanted to go over and see where they buried me. You said, they didn't bury you. Yes, they did. The Bible said I was buried with him. And when I got over there, the tomb was empty. But I didn't have to go over there to find out that he was up. I knew he was up because I was up. Hallelujah. The one that is in me has given me the newness of life. I was dead in trespasses and sin, but thank God I'm alive. I've got hope because of what he did, but I tell you, I've got hope because of what he's doing. I know what he did because I know what he's doing. Because I know what he's done, I got hope in what he's going to do. I was visiting an old-timer that he used to pastor back in the mountains of North Carolina. Charlie Ward was his name. Couldn't read his name in boxcar letters. He'd tell you so. But he listened to the Bible through many times using the tapes of Alexander Scorby. And he knew the truth, but he could only word it the way he knew it. But I'm going to tell you, I was just constantly, he would speak of truth in ways that I just said, man, I wish I could say it that way. Just an old mountain man's way of saying truth that couldn't read or write. One day I was just sitting on a couch, he's sitting in a chair, and he pointed at the door, had a window pane in it. He said, preacher, you see that window right there? I said, I do. Said, you see those mountains, those beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains? I said, I do. He said, you see those clouds are coming this way? I said, I do. He said, the Bible said Jesus is coming on a cloud. And he said, every time I see one, I look to see if he's on it. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to worry about a way a man's living if he's looking for Jesus on every cloud. And you say, well, how could he do that? I'm going to tell you how he could do that. Not on some theory that somebody told him about something that happened in the past. It's the fact that he had met the one who arose from the dead. And he experienced the same resurrection. It took the same power to change my life and my nature as it did to get him out of the grave. You're too late to tell me he ain't up. I know he's up. You say, how you know? I've been up 49 years. And aren't you glad you can sing these songs and hear these sermons? And I'm going to tell you, in your heart, your hope begins to hop. I noticed while the preacher was preaching a while ago, some of you was a-hopping. We've been a-hopping around here this week. But we got something to hop about. We got some hope. Let her hop. If she's got hope, let her hop. I was talking about that fruit last night. Eating that fruit. Some of them women took it and made wine out of it last night. You can do that. Do you know that? You pick fruits, you can make some Holy Ghost wine out of it. And if you do, look out, you're going to do some hopping. I got hope because of him that's in me. Hope in who he is, hope in what he's done, thank God, and hope in what he's doing. Therefore, I've got utmost hope in what he's going to do. Her hope is in her. Her hope is in her. But the second thing I want to point out is I noticed in the experiences of all seven of these churches, in the places in which they were at, the environments, that they all had to go through some things. I notice in chapter number 2 and verse number 9, he says to the church at Smyrna, I know thy works and thy tribulation. He said, I know you're going through some tribulations. And then he expresses, he said, I know thy poverty. He goes on to express that he knows what the devil's doing in their midst and how some of them are even cast into prison. And this is not exceptional because all 70 of these churches have their own predicaments, their own experiences, their own situations. And isn't that true in your life and in my life? God has you in a particular place, and in that particular place, he allows you, may I say, he even designs the circumstances for your life. And many times, and more times than not, there are circumstances that you wouldn't expect God to make you go through. Why didn't he write handle with care on these seven churches and place them somewhere in a Garden of Eden and protect them until he comes back? Why is it that he allows some to even be martyred and others to be persecuted and others to be put in prison? Why is it that we all, as we testify, and many of our songs, most of our songs are written as a result of our own personal experiences, and then they bless other people because of their own personal experiences? But somebody said, well, how in the world can somebody get up and sing about the hardships and times that they're going through and other folks shout? It's called hope. You say, what do you mean hope? Well, do you know how hope is produced? I notice in the book of Romans and chapter number 3, the Bible said, look at this. Listen to this. And hope, notice what it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Wait a minute. Are y'all shouting about tribulation? How can you do that? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Hallelujah. I want to say to you, hope is not only in her, but in spite of what she's going through, hope is all around her. God is using her surroundings and circumstances to produce hope. Understand, there is a process by which hope is produced. And once it is produced, it in turn preserves you, because the Bible said that we are saved by hope. That's not talking about the initial work of salvation in your heart. That's talking about everything that you're going to have to persevere here on earth. The very thing that you're persevering through is having an amazing work in your heart. It's a pumping hope inside of you. The reason why you're going through what you're going through, the reason why you are where you are, the reason why God is allowing tribulation and suffering is what he's doing is he's taking all of that and he's mixing it together, he's stirring it together, and in the process, he's making hope. And that's why this dear sister could stand up here and sing like she's singing, and he done told us her husband's passed off the scene, and many times they've lost children, and they've lost loved ones, and they've come through surgery. But I'm going to tell you, those that have been through the most hell is those that have the most heaven inside of them, and they show it when you look into their eyes. Honey, don't moan and groan about the devil. Don't moan and groan about the heartaches. Don't moan and groan about the hurt. I want you to know God's taking that and he's producing what the world don't know nothing about, and that's hope. Amen. That's the way he backfires on the devil. You think about it. The devil unleashed all he could unleash on Job. I think that if the devil had a spiritual advisor, he'd probably tell him concerning the church, leave her alone. The more you bother her, the more she grows, the more she strengthens, the more she shouts, the more she praises, and the more hope she's got. You're turning her heart heavenward. Leave her alone. Somehow he don't know that. He put all that on Job. And Job let us know that he didn't know why. He didn't know the cause. He didn't know the purpose. He didn't even know it was the devil doing it. He never even found that out. But I tell you, the devil put everything he could do into him to destroy him. But all he did was to drive him to his hope. He said, I don't know about all of that, but I want you to know in the midst of my hell, there's two or three things I do know. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know one of these days he's a coming back. And I know those worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, and of another I'll see him for myself. He said, I've got hope. Let the devil do his work. I need hope. He's a pointing me and pushing me toward heaven. The more you hurt, the more you hope. In spite of the adversities, there will be advancements. It is here that we understand that the opponents of hope become the components of hope. Despair is turned into deliverance because he's making hope. He's stirring it up. Go ahead and throw that in there. Cuss him out a little bit. Throw rocks at him. Afflict him. And they don't know that on the inside, the more they do that, the more you're doing this. Finally, it'll get to the point that all you can think about is he's coming. He's coming. You see, he don't want to come back and get a bunch of folks that don't want him. You say, why'd he allow the Israelites to go through what they went through in Egypt? Because he had a special land. He had to prepare a special people. And honey, when he sent Moses down there, they was ready to get out. And what he's doing is he's making us sick of this old world. But at the same time, he's stirring up hope for another world. So we could sing that song real. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue.
to heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home. I got some hope in this world anymore.
The older you get, the more aches and pains. As Paul talked about, 2 Corinthians 5, this old tabernacle. But every time she goes down a notch, the Spirit goes up a notch. And that's why Paul could talk about that heavenly body, as he was tired of this old body. She's got hope. Nobody else has it. She's got it all. Somebody said, well, I'm glad we got Trump in the White House. I ain't got no hope in that. Said, I'm glad the Republicans are controlling both houses. I certainly ain't got no hope in that. I got to studying. Did you know the Republicans have controlled this thing a third more than the Democrats have? And look at the hell we're in. I ain't trusting either one of them. I ain't got no hope in government. I got hope in him. Honey, he's in here. You say, well, what if they unleash on us? They're going to. They're going to. This world hates her. It hated him. It hates her. It's a coming. Mark it down. It's a coming. But I don't care how they come. All it's going to do is build my hope. I like to get around them saints. Used to preach for old Charles Keever. There's a lady that I preached many, many years before. And her heart, my heart just got knit. She is an older lady. So I'd go by the rest home. And when I was preaching for him, I'd go up there to visit her. At this time, I think she was somewhere around 90-some years old. Last time I seen her, she had the eyes of a teenager. Blue. She'd lost about everything in this world at that age. But I remember going by and sitting and visiting with her one day. And I don't know why it happened, but I just turned and I looked at her. And when I did, my spirit locked in. And at the same time, she turned, an old lady, and she looked at me, and we both locked in. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Rule, I looked to them blue eyes. And the only way I can tell you, I was looking into eternity. Because she only had one thing left. And it's the most precious thing she ever had. And that was her hope. It's the hope, thank God, that she still had in spite of all the hell. So the last thing. Her hope is in her. Her hope is all around her. But notice again there in chapter number one, it talks about verse 13, those seven candlesticks. Yeah. Now, what's a candlestick for? Anybody know? Holds a light. It'll hold a light. Now, there ain't no candle that has a light of its own. It has to be lit by an exterior light. And I'm glad for the day that the light of this world, as John called it, who came into a dark world, as he said, that one day as a 14-year-old boy, he set a light inside of me. And did you notice who had the light? Who had the light? Her. She is the candlestick, and she has the light. And let me emphasize this, she is exclusive. She has all the light. And she's the only one got the light. And there ain't nobody else
with any light. So don't go trying to find any outside of her. Because he said to her before he left this world, he said, I'm the light of the world, I'm leaving, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you, I'm giving you the light. You're the light of the world. He said, you don't hide that on a bushel, you set it up on the hill so others can see and glorify God for your good works. You're the light. I'm here to tell you, she's the light. She's the only light. She's all the light. Do you know how important she is to this world? This world is dark, and if they ever see the light, she'll have to shine.
She's the only one that can shine that light. She's the only one that can show that love. She's the only one that can express that peace. She's the only one that contains that joy. As I've told you, she's got it all. And having all, she's the light that shines for this whole world. Which leads me to say, that her hope is not only in her, her hope is not only around her. But I'm going to tell you, her hope is because of her. And did you know that if this world has any hope, it'll have to come through her. That's why she's placed in all these places, is so there could be hope in these places. And she had the light. Now, a light's not worth anything unless it gets dark. And you can even have an old cheap light. If it gets real dark, you can see some things. Because you got the light. And I'm going to tell you, there ain't never been a light that was afraid of darkness. Matter of fact, what a light will do is it'll hunt out darkness. That's what you get your flashlight for, to find out where it is dark. Honey, let us not moan and groan about the darkness that is in this world. Why unto heaven do you think God placed us here? We're the light. I have been blessed to see all these teenagers here this week. And I want to say to you teenagers that are in school and those that are going to college, honey, that's a dark place. But don't go down there and I'm going to tell you mully grub around about all the darkness. Don't get in. Hey, by the way. We can't take all of our youngins out of public school. They got to have a light. I ain't telling you what to do with them. You follow God. But honey, understand, them devils there need some light. But I want to say to these young people that are here, that are in these situations, you say, well, there's drugs everywhere. There's alcohol everywhere. That's why you're there. Take the light. Take the light. Let it shine. It'll never get too dark for the light. I never heard anybody say, go over and turn the darkness off. They say, turn the light on and you got rid of the darkness. Yeah. Honey, if there's any darkness around you, shine. You say, it's dark in my home, shine. It's dark on the job, shine. It's dark in my community, shine. She's the only one that can. Let us not be dismissive of her. Let us not distance ourselves from her. Let us not account her as an old maid. Thank God she's the only hope of this world. How's that song go? Wished I could sing it. There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, well, it sends out a light that I might clearly see. Aren't you glad for the light she shined in your direction? What's that second verse say? Everybody that lives around me. That's what they're trying to do. Why tear that old lighthouse down? The big ships don't sail this way anymore. No need. By the way, we ain't interested in the big ships no way. That light ain't shining for the big ships. It's shining for that little sinner out there that's lost, that needs a way home. Ah, the big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use them hanging around. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time she shined the light. That's his light, honey. You're shining. She shined the light. And I don't care how dark it gets, how few it is. I've got a light. I'm going to let it shine. Now, y'all learned this song in Sunday school. Help me sing it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine, 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 shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. Ooh, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I like this one. Satan can't blow it out. He can't. I'm going to let it shine. Satan can't blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine.
Let it shine.
Now, I've got a little bit of a difference for that song. I mean, not enough to change it permanently. But I don't think we got a little light. Boy, it was a big light shine for me. Changed my world. That's a big light. Honey, don't be ashamed to shine your light. That's a big light. That's a powerful light. That can drive darkness out of somebody's heart. So let's just back up and we'll catch that first verse again and sing it another way. This big light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this big light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Shine, let it shine, let it shine. Well, I'll get that second verse. Let it shine till Jesus. That's what we're talking about. He's coming. I got some hop because of that. Till Jesus comes, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Satan can't, I'm going to let it shine. Satan can't blow it out, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. He'll bring all the darkness he can, but somehow he don't understand that all he's doing is magnifying the light. I'm glad I got some hope. And I'm glad it's given me some hope. Did I tell you? The only reason why I come this week, I figured she'd be here. I was sure that if she is here, he'd show up. And anywhere you get him and her together, Holy Ghost is going to be producing fruit. And then look out, they might run over you because there's a lot of hop going on.